session number 23200, reel 6.
Mr. Kidger, reel 6. We're talking about what you know when you first got on board the Calder in Belfast, and you had a bit of a problem with the regional accents. But other than that, how did you get on with the lads when you know when you sort of got over this accent problem?
Well, I found out it was the Scotch were being a jury. I got them well. The Welsh lads, I always found out, they were mean, you know. And
I thought,
they wouldn't pay anything, you know. There was always a bribe, you know, in case of, if you asked them for, what do you call it, a few pieces of notepaper, write a letter, you know, home and it's like, you, and you hadn't done that one. You used to try and bribe you. And the way you used to try and ask, what do you call it, I'll give you 5 sheets of, what do you call it, notepaper. For 5 cigarettes, stuff like that. Or it was mostly a pencil. If you lost a point off your pencil, they had a sharpener, you know. Oh, I'll lend me a sharpener, you know, for a couple of cigarettes. The Cockneys, they were the worst. They were the worst person, because you would never get out. I mean, asking a company for anything was like asking for gold, because we'll never part with anything. They're more hoarders than anything else, you know. I mean, if they got a soap ration, you know, they used to go around and go around, the wash places, picking up the little bits and pieces, and they used to say, well, we're doing this. These bits and pieces of soap, we're going to use them for when we wash the dishes up and this and that, you know. That's what you should tell us, but behind my back, what they used to do, they used to use that and keep the bars of soap, the new bars of soap, in a locker and kept them for when they went to them and took them with it. They would never part, you know. If they used a bar of soap, they used it once, used to dry it off and put it away to make sure it was fresh. But they would say to you, if they went up the wash, out the wash places, they would say, if you're getting washed, or shower like that one, oh, I forgot my soap, can I borrow your soap? They could guarantee it was always a copy that said that. Why, I don't know. But they would never part with much.
But, was it friendly atmosphere on the lower deck?
Oh, yes, so it was friendly, not one. We used to play a lot of games. We used to play card games.
What card games?
Jim Rummy used to be the most favourite one, you know, because with Jim Rummy, you know, you could play with cigarettes. Now, cigarettes, I mean, were sixpence a packet, 24 for sixpence. He used to play on the order, he used to open the cigarette packet, put the cigarette packet on, play for Jim Rummy, and of course, your total score, whichever you won, I lost that one. You lost them cigarettes. There was more backy after a card game. On a mess table, you could brush it up, and you could make about another couple of packs of cigarettes up at the party, you know. But cigarettes were that cheap, that easy. It was a good game, because it depended on when you was playing, and how many you would have caught cigarettes you had. Yeah. And the lads loved Jimmy Young, you know. And the only thing you weren't allowed to play with was 3-card brag. Wasn't allowed. Because if you did, you would have caught it was punishment. Because 3-card brag, it wasn't allowed in any part of the ship. And if any officer come down and caught you, you're automatically punished for that one.
Did some lads play for money rather than cigarettes?
Well, that's 3-card brag.
So, right.
That came on a 3-card brag. Because what it was, when I was paying my money, it's to go on. I'm not denying. He used to go and he said the lookouts, and it was a case of the lads, if they had a good arm, he used to brag, and he used to be topped up and topped up. Well, a lot of the lads just would have caught, you know, he used to hang about, if the kit you got too big, you know, he used to get round, you know, and say either. Now, Fair enough. You had to look out and see. But sometimes, some of you watch Willow Cut would tip off. Whether it's, when you're in the sea, you see a lot of things, you study a lot of things, you notice a lot of things. Now, I've always wondered, in these brag games, and if the kitty got too big, I wonder if the person that had a hand and he didn't want to, what do I call it, expose it, he had a lookout that was turned around and upset it and got the tip off and got the, what do I call it, the officer, you know, down when he was tipped off. In other words, the game was over, but the money was shared because the money had to get cleared off the deck, you know. Whether it's happened, I've always wondered if there was a plan, you know. I should play a card, but I wouldn't clear, not tempted to play what I call three card brag. But it's the case, once you got yourself involved, it should destroy you. But I've always wondered if anybody, that was the case, you know what I mean? If they were going to know they're going to lose money, and, you know, I got the tip off, the lookout tipped the officer, see, it's three card brag coming up, and that was it. And the cards is what it goes, you know. It was a case of breaking the game up. You know, I've always wondered, you know, because you see, when you're at sea, you've got all the time in the world. You see things, you notice things. You know, I notice a lot what is going and stuff. Yeah, I could read people's minds, you know, what they're thinking. And stuff, you know. And you had all the time in the world to see these things. And people used to say, what did he do, you know, when you were seeing that one? I used to read a lot, you know.
Where would you get the books from?
Well, we had a library on board the ship, you know. You know, and you looked at reading that one, you know.
How was it operated, I mean?
Well, it was a case of something similar to what we used to do. Draw a book out, you took a book back, you know. It's like, you know, you had to draw, you know what I mean? I think we used to use what you call like a stamp. I think we had a card or whatever it was at the time. I can't remember exactly. But it's like a stamp to say it had the thing, you know. And there was a cancellation on the top to say it returned, you know. But there wasn't a lot of, what I call it, good books in the lab, you know. We used to do...
What sort of a choice was it? I mean, what was it? I mean...
Well, it was majority of stuff we used to read, you know, when it was there. Murder stories, you know.
Fiction
stuff, you know, in that line, you know. But, of course, mind you, you had the lads on what I call, you know what I mean, the older ones, used to fetch the dirty books on, you know. Where they used to get them from, I don't know, but they could have gotten from any country, you know. But that was luxury, that.
What else would you do to keep yourself amused during the, you know, you said it was...
Well, we used to make belts. We used to make belts out of coloured string, you know. Body belts. And you were taught that, you know. Different... You see, in the Navy, when you went on a mess deck, you met people. You met them from all walks of life. They could be in any part of the country and doing any sort of job. And they used to fetch things on board a ship. Used to show you how to do things. It could be printers. It could be people that work in mills. People that work in factories and stuff like that. And used to fetch that skills with them. And we used to pass them over. And used to show you how to do things. And what to do and stuff like that. And you learned a lot of things about different things. That one, you know. I was fascinated with some of the things, how you know, some of the tricks of the trades, you know, such as the person. I mean, we had a person on board a ship. He was a printer, and he was a clever printer, you know. I can say it now, you know. I would have got jail if I'd have said it years ago. When he would have called it, when he got a pay book and got about 7 days leave, or 14 days leave, he would lose so many days a year, and it was stamped in a pay book. Now, when you went up and you asked for more leave, PR said, so open your book up, and he said, well, you've only got another 7 days to see it no more. But his printer, that Wharton would have called it, he was a printer, clever printer, you know what? Used to say, right, we should show you, unofficially, how to get rid of it, and he could do it for you. If you got stamped, if your paper book got stamped, he could remove that stamp off there, and nobody would notice. So at the end of the days, when your PR said, turn around, stamp 14 days on, and then like 3 or 4 months passed, you know, and you come back in the dock, and if you had any shore leave, you should open your PR book and say, well, this printer, he could remove that. In other words is, you could get an extra 7 days or 14 days by him, what do you call it, defacing the book. And he had a way of doing it, you know.
You don't know what he was.
He was a printer.
No, but you don't know what it was that he
yes.
did. How did he do it?
He used to do it with what you call little bottles of Milton. It was. Like an acid. Now, how he used to do it, he used to use a mastic. It was very light. Because if you used too much on, it would burn all the paper. He used it just enough. What he said, though, he said, chew the end of the matchstick. Make it like a brush. And he just dip it in, wipe it, and just take it over. And he was cleaning that off. That print of many days, whatever it was, on there. Clean it off. And nobody would know the wiser. In other words, is you've got an extra 14 days. But you was clever. Different people, you know, I mean, different jobs showed you things in the state. You know, mine, if the printer was caught or you were caught doing it, it was jail. But at the time we could talk about now, because we're out of jail.
Did they have any of the firms, the laundry firms, you know, sort of photography firms? By firms, I mean, you know, just chaps who did jobs for money or for rum. I mean, did you have any of those, or was it less formal of them?
Well, there's nothing like that line, you know, I mean, the only person I knew that made any money made some board of shit was the barber, you know? Because he's charging sixpence for a haircut, you know. Well, you can imagine, I mean, what I call the whole ship's company, you know. You know what I mean? A haircut, you know what I mean? You know, I can imagine him. He was making a bum out of it, you know. We'd have his mate there, alongside him, you know. He was what you call a sweeper up, you know. He used to sweep the hair up, you know. He had a percentage. But the barber himself, you know. But mainly, the standard haircut was, you know, short back and sides, you know. Nothing else. There's no fancy about it. But he made a bomb of it, you know. He was a hairdresser, but used to do what I call majority of the lads on board the ship. So if you walk it out, he was making some money on a trip. He was well off, because people used to go and borrow money off him. They knew that, you know, because he was the only man on board the ship that got more than 7 shillings or 14 shillings a week, whatever you got, you know. You could afford to lend you money. You weren't allowed to, but you would, you know. But the barber, that's the only person I knew that used a trade on board a ship, you know.
Did you have any other hobbies? You mentioned making the belts. Anything else you did?
We used to make like boats, you know, like sailing ships, wood, you know. Cutting up, carving it up that way. And, well, there were some lads that was good at it, you know. We used to make collect matchsticks when we used to smoke. We used to cut the black end off, and we used to glue it together. Now, we used to go around collecting them, you know. But we used to use what you call a razor blade, you know, one-sided razor blade. But to cut the ends off the mastics, collect them, and we used to build all kinds of boats, buildings, things like that, you know. And we used to paint them at the end of the day. Some things used to give them away, some things used to bring them home. I used to give a lot of stuff away. I was saving, carving out a piece of timber, you know, in that one. Also, a lot of the lads used to make, what I call them, clippy mats. What you used to do was, what you had, what I call it was, there it goes, was your mat you used to put in front of the fire, and you used to cut, the, what I call it, up the old clothes and stuff like that, up into little pieces. And you used to use pegs, and we used to, what I call it, make clippy mats. I know it was very unusual for lads at sea to make them, but lads used to bring them sort of things aboard the ship to occupy the mind, you know. But you can imagine if anybody brought one aboard and had it in a frame, because it was made, it was tied to a frame, and it was on the mess deck, and it was on the mess table. You can imagine how many hands you got. You were lucky if you could get a hand round it, because everybody wanted to do it. Well, these little clippy mats were made in no time. So the person that you used to give my hand, I felt, used to feel sorry for, because he expected to be on that for about a month. Damn things used to be made in a couple of days. It knocked their sobby, you know. Because everybody wanted something to do, something. It was something different, you know. And he used to take them home, you know. What he was doing with them, I don't know. But he used to say he used to give them to his friends, but I don't think so. He was a cockney. I think he's what I call possibly somebody to sell down to the market, you know, made him know, you know. But he used to cut anything, any of the lads, is, you know, like clothing, all like that, were thrown away. He collected it, but he cut them up into little strips, and he made all these clippy mats. That was his hobby. Different ones had different up.
Did you have any special mates, you know, that you made pals with?
I could get on with any of them, mostly Scottish. I could get more on with Scottish than what I could any other part of the country, you know.
So whether your mates were mainly Scots and Geordies too.
Well, we're that close, you know. You see, when you think about, you know, I mean, the different mates that come from different parts of the country, you know, they had different ways, you know. I mean, a Scotsman, people used to turn around, you know, and say, oh, he's mean. And say, he wasn't mean to a Geordie. You know, we never mean to a Geordie, you know. We used to say it, you know, but we'd never mean, he wouldn't say it down and out, you know, vice versa.
Did you have any special pal you remember, or special pals?
Well, when we used to go ashore, probably about half a dozen away, you know, regardless. I mean, what nationality they were, you know, that one. But if you had Scotsmen, and if you did have any money for to spend for drinking this, that, you know what I mean? We used to, what I call, you know, I mean, if you're always a Scotsman, you always come back broke, you know? You never have to drink more, you know? And because he used to come back broke, and because he liked his drink more than what a Geordie did, you know? But as I say, I mean, he would drink your money, a Scotsman would drink your money faster than what a Geordie could drink a Scotsman's money, you know? But,
did you have any? Often the ordinary seamen don't like the stokers much, or vice versa. Were you aware of that sort of thing, or
not necessarily? I mean, because you had good and bad. You know, what I mean? You see, some lads, you know, what I mean, with a ship's company, you come from different parts of the country. Now, some say, I don't like the Irish. I hate them. You get another one saying, I don't like the Welsh, because you can't understand them. Because sometimes they're talking in their own language, and you don't know what they're talking about. You can't understand. If you can't understand it, let's just say it then, but I don't like them. And then you had the, what I call it, people told them to say, I don't like the Scots. I don't like the Geordies, I don't like the Cockneys. So, you couldn't turn around and say, I don't like stokers, lads that work down the boil house and this, that, you know, because it could be mixed, that one. But they used to make that excuse, I don't like the stoker. If a person turned around and said, do you like him? You say, where's he from? Oh, he's from Scotland. Oh, I don't like him. No, you could have a stoker that came from, what do you call it, the south, and said, where he's from? Oh, he's from there. Oh, I like him, you know. It wasn't a case he didn't like it. Whatever trade they were in, you know, whatever part of the ship. It was a case where they live and where they came from.
That was more important for you. Mm. What about the leading seamen and the petty officers? How did you get on with them?
Well, the ones I've came across, I have no fault at all. I came across them all. Because when you went in, the Navy, you
were... I mean on the Calder mainly, you know.
Aye. Well, we've been with a couple. Well, when you went on a train, you know, on a seamanship in the state either, you were always taught, do as you're told, behave yourself, it makes things easy. Now, I found that out by being that drummed into me. I found it out when I went aboard a ship. The easiest way to do it, if you're told to do something, do it. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, do it, you know. And if you do it, you'll get on better, you know. You know that one. But if you've been outward, you disagree in that one, you'll always finish up. You're leading seamen on board a ship. You will say, right, I'll keep all the bad jobs, and the whole's going to get them. But if you've done as you're told, and done as you're told, regards right or wrong, you've got to share. But once you step out of line, you've got all the bad jobs. And I've always was told by what I call obeying leading seamen, you know. Now, above that, when you come to petty officers, it was just the opposite. Because you've got good and bad in a lot of them. Well, leading seamen on your mess deck, you got to know him. You got to know his ways of living. But you couldn't get that with a petty officer because he had his own mess deck. He never did eat or drink with ratings, not seamen. And that was the division. So you had your good and your bad, but I would say you had more bad than good. But leading seamen, you got long better.
What would you say was a bad petty officer? What was a good petty officer? What was the difference? How would a bad petty officer show himself up?
Well, a bad petty officer thing, you know what I mean? If he was told, if he had orders to do something, and if something went wrong, and he was getting punished for it, it should have been done the way the officers wanted it done. He's come down and tell you exactly what had to be done to put that thing right. For all he had, whatever he had done and took the pieces and put it right, even the leading seaman knew it was right. The petty officer would step in and say, look, that's wrong. Start again. You know. Now, a person that used to make you do it 2 and 3 times over and over again, it just wasn't on. All he was trying to do was to upset you because he had been told, you know, he's not doing his job properly. So he's got to take it out of somebody. So the easiest way to take it out of is out of the people underneath him. That's when you found your good ones, your bad ones.
Now, what about your officers? How did you get on with them? Or did you have much... You know, what did you think of? Which ones came to mind?
Well, I don't know. You couldn't mix with them. You know what I mean? You spoke to... They spoke to you. You couldn't speak to them, you know. Unless you wanted some, you know. It depends, you know, if you wanted to request all this, that, you know. Depending which officer you want to see. I don't know, it was a case of it didn't mix much with him, you know. The only time you mixed much with him is when you were on lookout, knew a deck. Apart from that.
Did you know who they were? I mean, Davidson, Easton. I forgot the name of the captain at the earlier. It was Payne later on.
No, that's the hardest thing for me, you know, at the moment, coming back to civilians. It's Payne, no, so is that long ago?
So what's you can't separate them out in your head, which is which?
Not that they would have called, not no, I could then. Because you lose track of them, you know.
So they were a bit remote?
He came from, I think it was down Yorkshire, where that was, you know. And I don't know, You seem to work. You seem to take the way a lot of people up in the north, you know. You like the Winnicott, you know. You like the lads from the south, you know. But you would Winnicott, you know what I mean? If he was on the upper deck, you know, and that's what you were off duty, you know, both is that one, you know. He used to come along and talk to you, you know. Now, the thing is, you know what I mean, it's very unusual for an officer, you know, and come and talk to ratings, you know, because he used to have their own platform, you know, get away and say that. But he used to talk about things about life, you know, like some where he lived, you know. Have you been here? I've been in, what I call it, the Lake District places. I've been out to London, you know, that one. Because it was very interesting to listen to. Because what he used to do, he used to take the subject away, you know, the Navy away, and put you back in the civilian life and talk about, you know. He done a lot of, what I call it, the travelling when he was in civilian street, you know. And you might believe me, he knew a lot about, what I call it, British Isles, you know.
But you don't remember his name?
I could never think of who that bloke was.
I could listen to him. Or Davidson?
No, it wouldn't be. No, it was a lower
rank. Do you know them now? Because you're in association.
No, I've never seen them. It's a hard thing to see, you know, I mean, people's faces change, you know. And this is how we miss them, you know. But that person would have called it. I don't know. It was nice, you know, I mean, would have called, you know, I mean, to listen to him because it took your mind off what was going on around about you, that one, you know. Your life was changed. It was like somebody reading a story there, you know.
What do you think ships morale? You know, people say ships a happy ship, an unhappy ship. Was the Calder a happy or an unhappy ship?
I think it was a happy ship. I had no problems there. It was a happy ship.
How did it show itself, do you think?
Because everybody helped one another, you know, regardless what nationality, where they came from, you know. But, I had no bother. I had no bother with lads from whichever part of the ship they came from, you know. We all got on together, even to this. Even the chef, you know, we used to call the chef, God knows what, you know, was sort of grubbies to dish out, you know. But we know he used to fall out about it. We used to criticise, you know. He's cooking. And I found out the lads, what I call the cells, you know, were all played a good part, you know. I never fall a fault of any of them, you know, apart from, you know, other things, you know. You had to get on. You were living together.